MSPs have this really big opportunity at the moment with AI. And I personally don't think there's really a small fraction of MSPs that are actually taking the opportunity with AI. 99% of your client base is probably on the Microsoft 365 platform. So from the perspective of an MSP that's looking to get into the whole AI space and help their clients with AI, Copilot, to me, it seems like the most logical route. I know there's a lot of other tools out there, and majority of MSPs that I speak to, they're actually using other tools. They're not using Copilot. But we're hoping that we can basically find out in these sessions the best use cases of Copilot and AI that MSPs can share with their client base. So it's really trying to find the best use cases and the best ways to implement AI that's going to lead to project work for MSPs and IT businesses. And it's going to actually generate, it's going to become a new revenue stream. That's where I want to get to. A lot of people are still scratching their head with this. So that's why this is very much interactive, because we're all scratching our head with this. But we've got Christian here, Christian Bogdan of, is it Tico? Tico? Is that how you pronounce your company's name?
Yeah, Tico is the key by design.
Cool. So Christian actually, he reached out to me. I've been thinking about getting like experts on Copilot onto these sessions. And it was just a thought in my head. And then Christian, I think you mentioned that the term they used was like Google dorking or something. There was something like that where you're basically looking for people in the sort of Copilot MSP space. And I thought, oh, let's just do this webinar and let's pick Christian's head on how he's implementing AI for his client base. Welcome to the session, Christian. I probably first start with like just a little bit about your business. I know you're based in the UK.
Yeah, so my business is a fairly new business, it's a startup. The initial idea I had when I created the business to create a new type of architecture services than the current they are on the market. And I'm speaking about architecture as a service, knowing that the classical methods of deploying architecture, they have a couple of problems, and I'm trying to solve problems. And in my research on what services I'm going to put on the market and everything else, I encountered someone who kind of pointed me towards the AI. Why am I not doing anything about AI in regards to this one? And Copilot fit like a glove, because I knew Copilot since it came out on the market like nearly 2 years ago, plus minus. Yes. And that gave me the chance to come back into Copilot and revisit and see what has changed, because Copilot, when first came out on the market, was not ready for security and privacy measures that businesses require at the time. I'm speaking about businesses that they are in compliant environments like finance, government, so on and so forth. So when I revisit Copilot, I've discovered that a lot of the problems that they had initially, they've been fixed. More or less, there are still a couple of problems to be fixed, but Microsoft is releasing updates and improvements at the pace that I'm struggling to keep up with.
What are some of the problems? Like, it was like one or two big problems, or what would you see as a problem with the initial release?
So the initial release didn't have a lot enough controls in regards to privacy. It didn't have enough controls with segregation of data. It didn't have enough controls of security in general. Even now, there are some problems in terms of what actually we can see from the SOC perspective in terms of what Copilot can do and cannot. We still have a gap into having access to Microsoft APIs in certain areas, which they are important for a SOC team, for example, to be able to discover early and take measures in terms of preventing attacks. Okay. There are some workarounds.
You're talking about the security aspect of Copilot. If there was a malicious entity inside a tenant,
yes and no. What I'm trying to say actually is that this application is behaving different than what we've known so far.
Okay.
And there is a lot of things that we don't know about it. This is something new. We're trying to guess how it can be hacked, but we don't know everything about it. So we still have a gap in there where there is a blind spot.
So this is almost like, is this finding vulnerabilities in Copilot? Is this what you're...
It's not only about Copilot, it's about AI and LLMs in general.
Okay.
But Copilot fits into this one. To say this one a bit more precise, Copilot is the most secure application of this type on the market.
Yeah.
Microsoft has made major improvements on how Copilot is getting deployed. So each tenant has its own Copilot. You will not share Copilot with any other business.
Yeah. That's sort of like the selling point of it, isn't it?
Yes. So they are far ahead of the other competitions in terms of security and privacy as well, because privacy is becoming something that is more important now than ever, because there are things that we want to see as users, but we don't want to share with Copilot, for example. There might be some sensitive data where we want to have the users able to see that data, but some applications like Copilot, we don't want to give them access to.
Okay. All right. So, like, I've had clients that, one in particular, they're worried about other AIs coming in to a meeting like this. If this was like a standard Teams meeting and you have an AI recorder, I think mine's maybe in the room right now. It's a product called Fathom, and it's using AI to record the meeting. Are you putting any type of protection in place for your clients in regards to what AIs, I almost call it like an AI leakage service. So it's like being able to have a white list of AIs that are allowed by the organization and ones that aren't. And how do you actually go around blocking that, like at the tenant level? I know, and the example I've got here is like, how can you block it from like a Teams meeting?
There is no white list for this kind of products. However, as a rule of thumb, if you are interested on security and privacy, Copilot is your product, by all means. If you are not so interested and not so stressed about it, you can wander around for other products like ChatGPT and other things.
Yeah.
However, for business, I definitely recommend Copilot, despite the fact that there is a difference in capabilities of Copilot compared with ChatGPT, for example. They both using the same platform, GPT-4.
Yeah.
But there is a difference on capabilities. For example, ChatGPT is likely like a bit more ahead than Copilot. Copilot is still catching up with a couple of aspects.
Is that in regards to the interface? Because like I'm a ChatGPT user, but I have access to Copilot as well, but I prefer ChatGPT. And I'm sure there's probably people in the audience here the same.
Yes, there are a couple of aspects. For example, the number of tokens that you have. So you can input a much larger message into ChatGPT compared with Copilot.
Okay. So it's like your sort of memory.
Yes, the memory is working better. They start to make some improvements in Copilot as well regarding memory, but memory was a bit of an issue till not a long time ago.
Because that's one thing that I like about ChatGPT is it has a memory of who I am. So when I go into a new chat, it's got the frame of reference on, and I'm not sure if that's something that exists in Copilot.
Yes, now it is, but it's not at the same level as you can see it in ChatGPT. Now ChatGPT can have that memory across different sessions. Copilot is still per session memorizing that conversation.
Okay. So I want to get to, as I said, with IT Rockstars, we want to get to a place where we're basically helping MSPs generate a new revenue stream with Microsoft Copilot and AI. And we had a sort of alignment session here, Christian, on Tuesday. And I think one of the very first things you mentioned was don't over appreciate Copilot. It does not work miracles.
So, that's true.
I wonder if you could go into a little bit more detail what you mean by that.
Yes. So I think a lot of people did expect from artificial intelligence to do miracles in their business. Unfortunately, it's not exactly like that. It's not a wonder stick. We have to appreciate what can actually do and what actually cannot do. What is an over promise? So we're trying to estimate that one as close as we can. And then we're trying to deliver to the client. And this is varying quite a lot, mostly because businesses are different. They have different setup, they have different expectations. And we're trying to match the product that we're trying to deliver to the client as close to that expectation. But sometimes we have to turn them down a bit and tell them, look, Copilot is not going to be able to give you enough, working power that you're going to suck from tomorrow 10 people from your business. It's not going to work that way. But what can actually do today and actually can
have expectations with clients.
Yes, that is very important from the very beginning, because there are two sides of the client where people are expecting things. There are cPanel who wants to have a lot more revenue from it than actually it can deliver. And we also have the employees, which they are afraid of it because they think they is going to come and take their jobs. And we have to set the expectation correctly on both ends. And it's really important because the human element in having a successful deployment of AI is probably the most important. The technicality of it, the technical parts and everything else, we can sort it out. We can find a workaround if we don't have a direct solution, or we can wait till a new release of an improvement of that tool is going to come on the market. But the human element is the one that is, in my opinion, the most important one. Becoming AI literate today is mandatory. It's no longer optional.
What do you mean by AI literate? I'm trying to come at this from the perspective of an organization where you start having this conversation about AI and you maybe have objections, over expectations. Like, how do you go about interacting with an organization on all these different levels with AI? Is it like a session that you have? Like, we've got the AI maturity assessment where that's really more from a sales marketing perspective where you're opening up. But I'm guessing, you know, with your existing client base, like, what is it, a workshop that you do with them on business processes and where AI might fit in, or?
What we actually do with clients is we have an initial discussion with them, trying to understand where they are, what is their current status. And then we're going to have a workshop where we're going to go deep into that one. So we're going to have an assessment of their employees. We are sending out a couple of questionnaires. And within those, we're trying to capture as much data as we can from the people. We're trying to understand how AI literate they are. We're trying to understand if they feel that AI is going to improve their work. We're trying to understand all this kind of information that is going to help us later down the line to take decisions on how we're going to approach the deployment of Copilot. And also within the workshops, we're assessing the current state of the business. There are a couple of technical parts that are very important. That is mostly related to business maturity, how well the Entra is set up for them, conditional access, data, how well it's structured. Most of the time, we are in need to clean up the data and make a SharePoint migration. Even though it might be an internal migration, we need to restructure pretty much everything that is in there, because Copilot is going to redesign the way operations in the business are going to work in the future.
Okay. Can you give an example of that? Like a real world one? What do you mean by that? It's going to do this, but like how?
For example, at the minute, let's say we have a number of departments that they are having different folders in the same SharePoint site.
Okay.
We're going to have to segregate them. We're going to have to separate them apart. We're going to have a SharePoint per department, and sometimes even two SharePoints per department, because let's say we have a hub where all the data from the business is available to everybody in the business.
Yeah.
We have a department where all the data in that department is available to everybody in that department. And then probably we're going to have some restricted materials that we want to have only certain senior people in that department to have access to.
Why? I'm going to get this. I'm like the awkward user. If there's a organization, they're working like in a matrix structure where you basically got access to everything, why would you then want to silo the data? What's the purpose of that?
It's because we want to give access to Copilot only in certain areas. And at the minute, we don't have enough buttons to press. There are more to come. For example, it's a release that is going to come soon in terms of sensitivity labels, where we can restrict Copilot to index that data that has that label applied to it.
Oh, I see.
But at the minute, we mostly rely on SharePoint. That's why we make this segregation in SharePoint.
Okay.
Further down the line, probably this model is going to become obsolete and we're going to rely solely on sensitive labels. But at the minute, this is what we've done so far to make this work around.
Yeah, that's what I've done with my clients. We went down the route of sensitivity labels because they work in a matrix structure. And so basically everyone has access to almost everything. We do have a separate team for the senior management, but everything else is just flat. But we've sensitivity level has been implemented. So when a user prompts Copilot, it's coming back saying that this is shareable, it's confidential, or it's not for public consumption, that type of thing. So I did, yes. That's one of the main things when deploying Copilot, isn't it?
Yes, Copilot has actually access to everything that the user has access to.
Yeah. So this is my perspective, is like, if Copilot has access to everything the user has access to, why do we need to silo the data if the user already has access to that data? That's my devil's advocate question.
Yes, because sometimes we want, for example, for executives, they might have some information that we don't want to give access to Copilot into. It might be so sensitive that we don't want to risk to have, I don't know, let's say a hallucination that's going to spill out some data in the wrong audience.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm aware of that being a real problem as well.
Yeah, so that's why we have to make this segregation at this moment. As I said, there are more updates coming. There are more improvements in the tools. And probably what we are speaking today is not going to be available, I don't know, in a couple of months' time because of the speed of Microsoft releasing new updates and new improvements.
Okay.
It's going to change so fast.
Yeah, and you were saying that as one of the things that is rapid change. It's like becoming, what was it you mentioned? It was rapid change becoming a subject matter is fading away. A subject matter expert.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's so, like becoming irrelevant being a subject matter expert.
It's not necessarily becoming irrelevant, but okay, it's going to fade out the value of it. In terms of if you're a subject matter expert into a field, I don't know, networking, you probably have 5 years experience. That experience is still valid and solid. In terms of that, you still need a time of length to understand networking at a certain level. But networking is not changing at that pace. Copilot is changing extremely rapid.
Okay.
And having, I don't know, 2 years experience, let's say you've been here from the very first day of Copilot, it doesn't add that much value comparing to somebody who has 6 months experience.
Okay.
Because a lot of the things that were initially deployed, they're gonna fade out from the structure. Mm-hmm. The improvements that are coming, they are solving a number of problems that initially you had when you deployed Copilot, and those problems become irrelevant. So your experience in there is fading away.
Okay. Going back to the data for a second. So we've talked about siloing the data and we need to make sure that only the correct eyeballs see it. One of the other things that I'm aware of with Copilot is the prompt responses. And you kind of alluded to this with hallucinations. So the example that I was given recently, it was an HR department. They had all these HR policies and they had applied, I think it was like a Copilot studio agent onto the policies. So all of the HR policies were in this chat function, basically. So a user could go in and they could ask a question about an HR policy. And the HR team, they thought this was good, but the problem that they had with it was because the prompts responses aren't always 100% accurate. So in the example of an HR, maybe someone's going through a disciplinary, or maybe someone's there's been like sexual harassment in the office or something like that, something serious. And the users went and looked at the policy using Copilot, got this response back, which isn't actually 100% correct. Because of that, the HR team are basically saying, we can't actually use Copilot for this function because it's not 100% accurate. And it could land the company in like court in the future because these inaccurate responses that the IT system is giving on the policy that are being trained up on. How do you handle a situation like that?
Complicated, because one of the problems we have is quality of the data. So Copilot is grounding the data that it has been given by that department, whatever data they have in there. So I'm in advance speaking with a couple of businesses that they are specialized in data cleaning. That's what they've done, data analyst.
Okay.
And we are willing to use them in the process of cleaning the data before we actually deliver it to Copilot. It is
how can you clean like a policy though? It's
not about the policy. It's about the data that gets fed into the Copilot.
Okay.
Because if Copilot can, what you're actually asking is how an agent can retrieve that data. So we ground that policy in there. I'm presuming from what you're saying that there is more data that has been grounded into that agent. That's why it's having those hallucinations and spilling out information about a user that shouldn't do that. That's why I'm trying that. Hallucinations, they come from a different perspective. I don't know how much you know about zero shot. What that means, it means when an agent doesn't have sufficient information about the subject, it's fabulating.
It's making something up.
It's making something up. It's hallucinating. That is a hallucination. So the more and more accurate input you have in the prompt, the better is going to be the response. That's why we're trying to clean up the data, not only the data that is sitting behind Copilot that has been grounded, but also curating the prompts. We are creating a couple of prompts that we know they've been working pretty well. And those prompts are being reused later when we do troubleshooting to understand what is the problem.
Okay.
And this is part of what's going to happen in the future in Service Desk, in line one and line two. Mm-hmm. We did prepare a training for users and for Service Desk line one and two, which contains these kind of events, because Service Desk has to understand everything that the user knows, plus the technical part. And this hallucination that you mentioned is a clear example that what they're going to face when they're going to troubleshoot what's happening. They need to understand where the data is coming from, what data has been inputted on. They have to have something that is data cleaned in terms of the prompt. We know for sure that data is working and is trustworthy. They input that prompt in it, and that's how they start troubleshooting to see what is the problem with that hallucination.
I see. Okay. All right. That sounds like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. That's why I'm saying most of the people that they ask me how long it's going to take to deploy Copilot. It takes between applying the license to a user to about a year. anything in that range, it's feasible to be taken in consideration. It depends very much on how prepared is the business to adopt Copilot, how literate are people in AI. Most of the people that I met, they do have a mix of people that they never touch in ChatGPT, for example, but they also have a number of enthusiasts that they do that pretty much on a daily basis.
Our user field.
Or they have a sales department that they use an external tool without having a proper means to control the data that goes out in that tool. And that's why they're trying to adopt Copilot, because they want to have a more controlled environment in what, I don't know, sales team does regarding that, or marketing team, or they need to put a hold on what they control regarding that.
Yeah. So I guess a lot depends on the business, because the example, like that HR example that I gave, I was like, okay, what's the workaround for this? Now you mentioned like cleaning the data first and working with like some outside company to clean the data and make sure the responses are 100% accurate. And just today I saw it was someone that Googled, it was like, it's an AI response in Google for today's date. And it said, it basically came back saying, it's not 2025, it's September 2025. It was like a totally wrong response. And this is Google, like with a huge sum of money, thousands of engineers, they still can't get their prompts correct that are like public facing. So it's almost, to me, it's almost like an AI awareness that needs to be in the company where users are, they realize what you can do with Copilot and AI, but there's like this, some like a common sense, like, yeah, I'll give you back a response, but it's not always going to be 100% accurate. You go and reference the data that it has, so going into detail on that. So having that sort of, from a user perspective, the AI awareness on these responses aren't always 100% accurate. Just like how users have an awareness of what a phishing email looks like. Because the solution I came back to the HR department with, okay, it's not going to be 100% correct all the time, but you can have within the prompt response, just like a little disclaimer saying, please don't take this as 100% fact. And that, just having something like that little disclaimer is going to save a heck of a lot of work. But I realize that it probably depends on the client that you're working with and how they would feel about deploying. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. That's one of the part that we do on the user training.
Okay.
Explain to the user that he is responsible for the output that goes into, I don't know, let's say he's writing some documentation. Even if it's written by Copilot, he is responsible for that data that is in there. He has to verify that data, it has to curate that data and make sure that it's accurate. Because sometimes, because of this zero-shot problem that LLMs have, it might be inaccurate. It might be hallucination or might be fabulating about something that doesn't exist. That's why the human element, I'm saying, it's extremely important in this collaboration between Copilot and the employee. It's very important that this blend to be as accurate as possible and as, I don't know, smooth as possible for it to actually produce the results that people expect.
Okay. No, that makes sense to me. Yeah, and it's all about the people, isn't it? They're coming back to the people and the AI.
Yes.
Okay. I think as part of this is on our agenda, we one of the things that I want to do in these sessions is pull out really good use cases of AI that MSPs are doing. So I'm going to put you on the spot here, Christian. Do you have a use case that maybe one of your clients is using, maybe it's something internal that you're doing in your company, actually use case where it could be Copilot, it could just be some other AI tool, but I'm looking to try and build up a bank of these use cases that I can share with all of our audience here.
I can give you something that I'm working recently, something that I pick up fairly new to, because I'm a Copilot adopter myself in my business as well. So what I'm trying to do is to improve my marketing presence on LinkedIn.
Okay.
And I have created a number of AI agents that they do different tasks in my posting on LinkedIn, for example. And one of the problems I'm currently having, because despite the fact that Microsoft has announced that we can chain agents, I'm still not able in my environment. So I'm still waiting that change to come from America to cross the ocean into our parts of the world. So I'm trying to create a chain of agents. One is going to be the one who's going to, for example, create the post for the LinkedIn. The other one is going to be the one that's creating the image that is going to go alongside the post. One is going to be the one who's measuring the metrics of performance of previous posts and is going to influence, is going to feed back that data into the previous two. And probably later down the line, once I'm solving this problem, I'm going to add a campaign agent who's going to manage and create a campaign, and it's going to feed that data into these agents. It's going to be a bit of orchestration. That one is going to be the orchestrator of that campaign.
So like, how do you come up with the posts? Is that just like different topics? Is it for a news feed? How are the posts being generated?
I don't really understand your question. So you're asking how I'm going to post directly on LinkedIn or how I'm going to create the post?
What's the initial trigger for the post? Are you just going to ChatGPT and tell, can you write me a LinkedIn post based on this topic? Like, what's the trigger?
The trigger is the amount of time that I'm spending trying to create this post and make pretty much the only marketing I'm doing at the minute is LinkedIn. And because of that, I'm spending a lot of time into creating this post every day. And I'm trying to reduce that time through automatization.
I see. Okay.
And that is one aspect that I'm working on at the minute. It's not ready yet. It's still work in progress. I'm still trying to fine tune these individual agents separately before I'm going to chain them up.
Yeah. Okay. That's perfect.
That is one example of what people can do in terms of marketing. In terms of how I've been using AI in general, because I've been a ChatGPT user for quite a while, brainstorming is probably the most
ideation, that type of thing.
Yeah, the most use case for me. I'm trying to find new ideas, new avenues. I'll give you a very good example of that one. Because I fed all this information about my business into Copilot, when Copilot has released the researcher agent, I've been using that agent and I fed up all that information to the agent and I've told him to make me a summary of everything he knows about my business and find three things that I was not aware about the business.
Okay. It might be funny you're referring to him as a he.
It is an assistant. Yeah. So it is an agent and it is an assistant for me.
Yes.
Is a team of two. So people probably going to have to start to have that one in mind from now on, because AI is not going to go away. So it's going to be that assistant going further.
So there's a Copilot research agent. I wasn't aware of that. I thought it was just a perplexed.
Yes, there is a Frontier agent. So if you look in the Copilot recent releases, you're going to find that agent over there.
Okay.
And you can just deploy it in your environment and then you can ask a lot of questions. Is making the deep research. What is ChatGPT doing as a deep research? Is doing something similar.
Okay.
And analyzing all my data and analyzing all the questions I put in, because it's a bit of a loop. It's a back and forth with a couple of questions before actually starting to do the research. It came up with the idea that I should make a platform for the tooling that I have made while I was creating these deployments of Copilot and trying to monetize the platform.
Okay.
So that's how this idea came up. Because initially I was not thinking about it. I was saying, no, I'm having a number of tools. I'm happy with them. They work for me. I didn't have this realization in the back of my mind, but actually I can monetize these tools now and I can come with something useful for myself and for my business.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about the tools before we kind of open the floor up to questions?
There are a number of tools and I'm trying to create a platform out of them. It's not ready yet, but it is a bit of announcement into my website. And I'm trying to put on the market for people that they want to adopt Copilot for their clients, more rapid way to learn from my mistakes. So I have created a framework that is coming to complete what Microsoft has as a Copilot deployment playbook.
This was a slide that you handed over to me.
Yeah. And we do have a metric tool that is mostly based on Power BI, where we collect metrics from the client. We try to show the client the before and after in order to understand the progress and as close as possible the return of investment. It's not exactly there, but it's better than nothing.
Okay.
In this tool, we have a lot of metrics that Microsoft doesn't take out by default.
Yeah, you've mentioned telemetry metrics, and I was like, what is that? And you mentioned in your slide, it's like telemetry metrics that allow me to make business decisions. And I said it, I'd kind of like to focus in on that. What does that mean? Sorry, because I'm being stupid.
No, it's absolutely fine. What we're trying to demonstrate to the cPanel is that we are increasing productivity.
Okay.
The problem we have is that in reality, we are only saving time, but we cannot make people to work more for that time that is saved. It's more like a business culture. So if you're going to save somebody's time and the aim at the minute is to save every employee that is using Copilot half an hour a day, which is fully achievable now, we have to demonstrate that in that half an hour that has been saved has been doing something productive.
Yeah.
And we're trying to measure that one. And we collect all the metrics we have available, including manual collection of some metrics. For example, Microsoft doesn't give you out the average time that somebody is spending on editing the file. And this metric is very important because it's going to show that a person using Copilot is going to be actually faster completing the same task than writing everything by its own.
Yeah, I went through that yesterday. I was having to choose a piece of software, MDR solution for one of our clients, and they wanted a report on the ones that we looked at. And I'll do that report for you. And back in the day, that would have taken me like the whole morning to do. But I just gave Copilot my findings, and then it went and generated it within 2 minutes. So it was like,
So
4 hours, very good, 2 minutes.
Yeah. A very good example of that one as well is that presentation that I've sent you. I literally made that presentation by grounding the information from the, I have a lapsus now.
I think what we can do
from the brochure.
Yeah. I think what we can do now is we'll maybe open up the floor to questions. We want to try to keep this interactive and we're at the 14 minute mark here.
Yeah, that's fine.
If you guys and girls have got questions in the audience, I think you can either use the chat. I think you can use the chat or you can definitely use the Q&A. I think you can use the Q&A. I've never really used the Q&A.
any of them would be great if you will have questions.
As I mentioned, these Coffee and Copilot sessions, this is actually about us sharing use cases, like how our clients are using it. You know, we discussed internally how we were doing it. I would love to hear how some, we've got 16 people on the call here. If there's anyone that's got maybe a client use case and how they're using it, the type of industry they're in and what they're using it for. Because that's the type of goal that I want to share in these sessions, because we basically, the majority of the people here run an IT business or an MSP, and just having that information is going to be extremely valuable. So open the floors up to questions or even prompts that you're using. As I mentioned, your clients are using, you can put them in the chat, put them as questions. We'll see what comes back. Everyone's very important.
Yeah, one of the use cases that I find it very useful is email summarization, especially for people that they get a ton of emails, spending like every morning, half an hour, 40 minutes, just skimming through the emails in order to understand which emails they have to answer, which they not. They can just use Copilot to summarize the emails and pick one, the ones based on the topics he's interested. For example, he can ask Copilot to say, highlight all the emails that I have of finance importance or anything like that. All the bills or the invoices or anything like that, just highlight all those emails. And it's going to come out with a list of emails that they have that element of finance in it. And you're going to be able to just go through them one by one quickly rather than open, close each email at a time to find the ones that you really want to look at.
Yes, that's, I can see how that would be a really useful prompt.
Yeah.
Especially for those more popular people that get hundreds of emails in a day. I put in the Q&A, I turn on anonymous posts. So if everyone wants to post on there, they can do it anonymously as well. So it's not going to tell us who you are, unless there's some secret hidden Teams thing where I can go in the order logs and find that information out. But I don't think there is. The prompt I've got, this is one that I learned the other day. If you're off work for a couple of days on annual vacation and annual leave, and you come back, you can go to Copilot and say, out of all the emails, messages, documents that have sent to me in the last 2 days, can you please list out all the action points? And it basically lists them all and it references them as well. So you can see all the actions that you've got from the last 2 days that you were off and people have been emailing you, and you can hit the actual reference point to open that email up. And that was one that I found useful.
Yeah.
And that was very much a Copilot specific one, because most of the time I'm using Copilot, it's actually more for search. And it's really good for that, I think, is just searching across the tenant for stuff.
It's very good for searching. And I've been watching yesterday a webinar regarding Copilot plus PC. It's going to improve the search method. It's going to be the most used search method in this environment. You're simply going to use Copilot prompt. You're going to search for some information. And the advantage is you don't have to know the name of the file, or you don't have to... For example, if you search for an image and you don't remember the name of the file, you just simply describe the image and it's going to search through the images that they look similar to your description. And from those couple of images that are going to pop up, definitely you're going to see the ones that you're looking for.
Wow. Yeah, you can tell services like Google are going to die very quickly. And I'm just using ChatGPT now just for all the searching that I'm doing, so much quicker than having to go through 10 different results that are trying to sell me stuff. So,
I don't see large engines disappearing. They're not going to die, but they're going to have to transform. They're going to have to adapt to this new venture.
I don't know what Google are going to do. I think they're still struggling with that one, aren't they? Cool. So I'm going to guess the audience are very quiet here. They must be making thousands of dollars and pounds every month reselling Copilot to their clients. Already, I guess that's why there's no questions.
I don't see the questions. I would hope that they're going to come with some question because,
I think there's maybe like a setting or something in here that disabled. Because can anyone, usually there's like someone in the chat.
They should be at least able to write in the chat, if not in the Q&A.
It would be good, like, just to, was this of use to you guys? Was this worth the 45 minutes that you spent here? To know. Maybe it's all bots. Maybe it's all AI, Christian.
I don't think so. We're not yet in that stage.
Excellent. Okay. So how can, oh, we've got one. Cool. Alec, I'm going to say the whole name there. We have no clue how to sell it because we don't have enough use cases that resonate to even show our clients. Okay. That's a really good point, actually. And that's the problem we're trying to get around here is those use cases. I know we've shared a few of them here. They're more of internal ones. Certainly from my perspective, the way that I'm helping my members at IT Rockstars sell Copilot, we've got, it's the Copilot revenue roadmap. And as part of that, there's an AI maturity assessment where you're basically, it opens up questions to your existing client base and your prospects about Copilot. It's finding out where they are in their headspace with AI. Do they want a Copilot license? Are they using it already? Have they went down the route of information protection? Have done like things like AI awareness sessions with their staff? So that's all within our revenue roadmap, IT Rockstars. But yeah, what do you think of that? Sales objection.
Yeah, we can speak about sales objection as well. What is the main driving at the minute is the return of investment. And what we're trying to show to clients is that if they save half an hour per day per user, they're going to be able to recover their investment in a year or less for deploying Copilot. That is one thing that they are interested in. And also they are interested going further, how much is going to cost the operation to operate this kind of environment. Not everything is perfect. Not everything is okay. The license is still pretty pricey, I will say.
It's £20, $30 a month, isn't it?
It's like $30-ish. Yeah, a month. And
certainly from the scenario I gave you guys earlier where I'm saving 4 hours to write a report, that's my $30 for the month paid for already.
Yes, especially in environments like lawyers, for example, where their value of saved time is a lot higher, it adds up very quickly. So in these kind of environments, they're going to recover their investment a lot faster than a year, which is just a couple of months.
The example I've seen in legal space is where you have an NDA. If you're going to do like a partnership or going to with an operator or something like that, you have to sign an NDA. Quite often there's like a back and forth on the NDA and it has to go to the legal department to look at the changes and if it's acceptable. So one of the things that has to be the legal guys have to do is they have to look at version A of the NDA compared to version B of the changes that they've asked for. And that can be quite times consuming going line by line through each version. And the example I had is actually just getting Copilot to compare the two versions. And it's like a 5-minute jog. It tells you, these are the differences between the two versions. So the legal one's definitely spot on.
That is one other thing. I agree with Alexander that says the legal force is dedicated environments, and that is true. They have their own dedicated line for the legal stuff.
Okay.
However, their work is
not really like dedicated environment. Is it like a piece of software?
Yes, they have dedicated software that they use in order to write the documentation, and they have things like that. But their work on daily basis is not resuming only on writing on those tools alone. So they have other parts of their business where they have to be involved in. For example, they have to read emails every day. It is very helpful for them to go and summarize those emails rather than churn through manually.
So it's coming back to the time again. So, okay, you maybe don't have, Alec, you don't have use cases of how clients are using that. But I think the biggest one's the time saver because time is money. And if you can give examples, even looking at pockets of the business where it's going to be a huge time saving, like the marketing example that we did earlier. I know for a fact marketing departments use AI heavily because we are a marketing company here at IT Rockstars. And I know from a client base as well, there's certain pockets in the business that will be a huge time saving for them. So you might not be selling it on that one use case, but as opposed to the use case, think about from the time saving point parts of the business where it can have the biggest impact on a time saving side of things.
The biggest money revenue for the businesses is going to come from automation, and the Copilot agents are getting there now. And that's going to be where actually the revenue is going to come, where they're going to be able to automate processes and they're going to manage to have the orchestration made by Copilot. Copilot is going to be an intelligent orchestrator where the classical automation is just based on scripts and the true or false logics.
Yeah. So,
so this is going to come.
Laborious tasks that humans do at the moment.
Yes. A lot of the writing, a lot of the verifications that can be done automatically, they will be taken by Copilot.
Okay. Interesting. I guess we'll see how that, takes shape over the next few months, because you mentioned that Microsoft will come up with all these big changes so rapidly. I think we're going to leave it there, Christian. We've went over time here. I really appreciate you coming on here and me like asking you like I think maybe stupid questions and putting you on the spot. I do appreciate your time and appreciate the audience's time as well. I think we'll be sending out a recording of this webinar, and I'll have an AI summary as well. So that's my last marketing tip. You can take transcript this. You can ask your AI, keep as much of the original copy as possible. Now that is the reason you keep that prompt, is that it doesn't sound like it's written by AI. But then you ask it, generate a blog post or a LinkedIn article or something like that. That's one of the marketing tricks that I do know, is taking transcripts like this, but keeping as much of the human written word or spoken word in there so that it's not obviously AI. Christian, is there anything else you want to say before we wrap up?
No, thank you very much for having me. I was hoping we're going to have more questions, but unfortunately it is what it is.
AI boss. All right. Excellent. Thanks, folks. We'll see you in the next Copilot session. It's the last Thursday in June. I don't know what date that is, but you'll be getting an email with this recording. We'll send you an invite to that. So we might see you there, Christian.
Thank you very much. See you later.
Okay. Brilliant. I just have to try and figure out how to end the meeting.
Bye.